One of the most destructive habits ensnaring human beings is also so common that many consider it as natural as breathing and as harmless as blinking. That habit is called worry. It is such a skilled and deceptive thief that the victims don't even know they've been robbed. And yet they are robbed of peace, of time, of mental energy, and of emotional well-being. We've come to a point where worry has become an epidemic. I know you're tired of hearing that word, but we're not talking about that one. Worry was here long before COVID ever was. And it has reached epidemic proportions. Strangely, some seem to treat anxiety like a close friend they don't want to lose. They excuse it. They make room for it. They accommodate it. They even coddle it. They treat it like a destructive, codependent relationship. And it eats away at their peace and their joy day after day. Think about worry, what it really is and does. When we worry, we are preoccupied with distressing fears, burdened by the past, nervous about the present, tormented by the future. We live in the realm of what ifs, and that kind of emotional agitation cannot be healthy, and in fact, it isn't. It's like two friends that were walking along one day, and one said to the other, "Man, you sure look worried." And his friend replied, "Yeah, I am. I've got so many problems that if something were to go wrong today, it'd be 2 weeks before I could start worrying about it." If your worry has a waiting list, that's a problem. Because we're not designed to live that way. Now, one reason why anxiety and worry is such a common problem, it's available in so many varieties. I mean, we worry about yesterday, today, tomorrow. We worry about our job, our health, our children, what other people say or think, nuclear war, global warming, the list just goes on and on. There's no lack of things to worry about. Max Lucado writes as only he can, "Some of us have postgraduate degrees from the University of Anxiety. We go to sleep worried that we won't wake up. We wake up worried that we didn't sleep. We worry about someone, that someone will discover that lettuce has been fattening all along." The mother of one teenager bemoaned, "My daughter doesn't tell me anything and I'm a nervous wreck." Another mother says, "My daughter tells me everything and I'm a nervous wreck." Wouldn't you love to stop worrying? Could you use a strong shelter from life's harsh elements? Do you know that God offers you just that? The possibility of a worry-free life? Not just talking about less worry, I'm talking about no worry at all. God offers that to every believer. And it might sound too good to be true, but it isn't. It's possible to overcome worry by living in the power of Christ's resurrection. And the way to live worry-free is simple, though it's not always easy. I want to begin with a serious problem of worry. The signs of anxiety are all around us. The number of people taking anti-anxiety and antidepressant medications is astronomical. And I am not saying that critically by any means. When medication is needed, take it. It's not a sign of weakness and it's not a sign of a lack of faith. But that's on the rise. Besides these, some people use alcohol and illegal drugs to calm their fears or to try to escape reality. Some seek constant entertainment or even go shopping in an attempt to quiet their anxieties. Chronic worriers often have physiological symptoms as well, including headaches, heart palpitations, sweat pouring down their forehead, and panic attacks. Here are some symptoms of worry. See if any of these apply to you. Do you have difficulty sleeping? Are you losing your appetite? Are you overeating? Are you experiencing chronic headaches? Are you having constant stomach problems? Do you struggle to maintain good health? These aren't all the symptoms of worry, and not all of those are exclusively the result of worrying, but they indicate what happens when a person worries a lot. Worry can take away our health. When we worry, our adrenaline goes up, our heart rate increases, our digestive system kicks into overdrive. And when we live like this constantly, it can lead to sleeplessness. It can lead to heart disease, stomach ulcers, and even acid reflux disease. You know, worry is one of the most useless emotions we have. It dogs us constantly, but it doesn't do anything. Worry is like a rocking chair. It requires a lot of effort, but it doesn't take you anywhere. Unless you're Granny Clampett and your rocking chair is on top of the truck. That's the only time a rocking chair will take you anywhere. And worry is just like that. It requires a lot of effort, but it doesn't take you anywhere. It's never changed anything except the quality of the worrier's health, and that's for the worse. Worry may take hours off of your life, but it won't extend your life 1 minute. Even more than the health hazard, worry is a spiritual stumbling block. Worry is not an inherited weakness. We can't say, well, my mom was a worrier. It's not a humorous habit. Oh, I'm just a worrywart. And it's not a justifiable excuse for prideful perfectionism. Well, somebody's got to make sure it gets done right. None of those fly. Far beyond the need to avoid the physiological and psychological effects is the reality that Jesus commands us not to do it. He says several times, do not worry. We're going to look at one of those passages in just a moment. And when Jesus tells us not to do something and we do it, what do you call that? Sin. So let me be very clear. Worry is a sin. Cut and dry. Worrying is sin. Why? Because Jesus said, don't do it. But he didn't just tell us to not do it. He gives us good reasons, and he shows us how. You see, to worry is to question God's integrity, and that's the opposite of believing him. Let me put it more bluntly. To worry is to say, God, you're lying when you promise to meet all my needs. You must not really be a good father because I don't think I can trust you to do what you've said. That's what worry says. Those words may never pass through your lips, but that's what you're living when you live in worry. When you live in constant fear and anxiety, you're telling God, I can't trust you. I can't trust your word. I can't trust your promises. Corrie ten Boom put it this way. Worry is a cycle of inefficient thoughts whirling around a center of fear. Worry doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow, it empties today of its strength. Oh, isn't that true? We spend so much time and energy worrying, we don't have any time or energy left to do anything else. And it hasn't changed the things we're worrying about at all. We cannot live in the power of Christ's resurrection if we live in constant worry. But there is a simple prescription, and it's found in the scriptures. The first is in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, in the midst of what is often called the Sermon on the Mount, we read these words from Jesus beginning in verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen?
Amen.
Those are the words of Jesus. This is not somebody's advice. This is not a good idea. This is a commandment from Almighty God. And when he says, do not worry, and we worry, we sin. Now, five times in that passage, he uses a Greek term that is translated worry. It literally means to choke. And you know, that's what worrying does. It chokes us. Remember the parable of the sower and the seeds? And some of it fell on thorny ground, and as the plants grew up, the thorns grew up with it, and it says it choked. It's the same verb used here for worry. The worries of life choke the life out of those plants. And that's what worry does to us. The tense in verse 25 when he says, do not worry, means stop worrying. In verse 31, it means don't start worrying. Which means if you are worrying, quit. And if you aren't worrying, don't start. Wherever you're at, this applies to you. Years ago, I heard a poem that was put to music. And it goes like this. Said the robin to the sparrow, friend, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. Even bird brains know they have a heavenly Father that takes care of them and they're not worried. What's the matter with us? What's the matter with me? When I'm worrying, what does that tell God, I think, of him? Those who engage in incessant worry find their entire lives off kilter, teetering on the brink of breakdown. Two words, I think, aptly summarize Jesus' opinion of worry: irrelevant and irreverent. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Of course not. Worry is irrelevant. It alters nothing. When's the last time you solved a problem by worrying about it? Think about that. Imagine someone saying, I got behind in my bills, so I resolved to worry my way out of debt. And you know, it worked. A few sleepless nights, a day puking and hand-wringing, I yelled at my kids and took some pills, and money just appeared and paid my bills. Said no one ever. Because it doesn't work that way. Worry changes nothing. It'll earn us heartburn and pretty much nothing else. Consider this. A university study was done about what people worry about. And it was discovered that 40% of things worried about never happen. 40%. 30% regard unchangeable deeds of the past. 12% focus on the opinions of others that you can't control. 10% centers on personal health, which only worsens when we worry about it. A whopping 8% of what people worry about is something they can do something about. Do you know what that means? 92% of what people worry about, they can't control. 92%! Talk about a monumental waste of time and effort. But not only is worry irrelevant, it's also irreverent because we're not trusting God. In verse 30, Jesus says, oh, you of little faith, When we worry, we betray our faith. We deny our faith. We might say, I trust God, but our lives deny it because I'm worried about what's going to happen. One commentator calls this an unconscious blasphemy. Whew. Those are tough words, but I think he's right. We don't intentionally doubt God, but when we worry, we're essentially doubting God. George Mueller, that 19th century founder of orphanages that cared for thousands of children, handled millions of dollars, all donated on faith, put it this way: the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. The beginning of faith is the end of anxiety. You want to get over the habit of worry? Increase your faith. Strengthen your faith in God. Worry cannot last. It cannot stay. Now, Jesus gives us the first part of the simple prescription for worry. Don't. That's pretty much all he says there. Don't do it. And that's great. Except there has to be more. It's just like that campaign was run years ago, Just Say No. Yeah, that's a great idea. You know, it didn't work very well. Because if you're going to say no to something, that means you got to say yes to something else. If you're telling your children, don't do this, you need to have something they can do as an alternative. Or else you focus on what you're not supposed to do, and like Adam and Eve, you're drawn to it, and pretty soon you're into it. Paul gives us not only what not to do, but what to do in its place. And that's found in Philippians chapter 4, the passage that was read for us earlier. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. It really is that simple. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Have we missed anything in there? Does anything fall through the cracks? No. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Instead of living uptight, tense, uneasy lives, we need to bring everything to God in prayer. And everything means just that. The original word in the Greek means everything. No exceptions. The big stuff and the small stuff. And one of the things we fail to do many times is when we're confronted with something we think is small, we say, I got this. I'm not going to bother God because this is small and I can handle it. I'll just take the big things to Him. That's not what this verse says. Everything. By prayer and petition, we bring to God. If you feel agitated, pray about it. If you're scared, lift it to the Lord. If you're burdened by a past that threatens to come back and haunt you, you go to God and you take it to Him. You say, but God already knows. Jesus even said it. Your Father knows what you need before you even ask, so what's the point? Why bother praying? If He already knows and He's already decided what He's going to do, why do I bother to pray? As we bring our requests to God, we are casting all our cares on Him. We're declaring our dependence on Him. We are not informing God of our needs because He already knows it. We are declaring our faith in God that He will meet them. That's why we pray. It is directing our focus instead of on our fears, on our Father. Because when we focus on our fears, we will worry. When we focus on our Father, we will worship. And worry gets eased out of the picture. Don't worry about anything, pray about everything. Now, I'll be honest. A lot of Christians memorize Philippians 4, 6, and following verse 7 we'll get to in a moment, so that they can repeat them in times of stress or trouble. But just memorizing these verses may not be of much help if we're looking at them as spiritual band-aids to slap on a stressful situation. Oh, something's come up. Got to pray. I think what Paul is saying here is this should be a lifestyle. He's not telling us to hit the prayer button so we don't hit the panic button. Prayer should be the first response, not the last resort. Guys, how many of you are guilty of this as I am? You get something new. You get it out of the box. It's got all the parts. And in your mind, you say, what? I got this. And you work at it, and you work at it, and you work at it, and it ain't right. You got pieces left over. It's not doing what it's supposed to do. And then you say, maybe I ought to read the instructions. Yeah, we do that. And we do it in life, too. Instead of waiting until we've really messed things up and said, well, man, I better pray. How about we pray from the very beginning? As soon as we're confronted with something, pray. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Everything. You want to worry less? Pray more. Rather than looking forward in fear, look upward in faith. By refocusing on the joy we have in the Lord, we pour water on the flames of worry. Think of prayer as a fire extinguisher, putting out the flames of worry. Because our focus is in the right direction. Tony Evans provides this practical application. He says, if you're prone to be anxious about things, I want you to make yourself a worry box. Take a shoebox or something similar and cut a hole in the lid. When Satan starts pushing you to worry, write down your concern, look up to God and pray, Lord, this is what I'm worried about, but you told me not to worry. So I'm going to put this worry in the box as an admission that I can't handle it. This means it's yours to handle and I'm trusting you to take care of it. And you leave it there. Now, am I telling you all your problems will go away if you put them in a worry box? No, but I am telling you that when you learn to replace worry with prayer and faith, God will open an umbrella over you in the midst of your storm to keep you from getting drenched. And He will give you a peace that surpasses comprehension. So if you tend to be that way, I encourage you, go find a shoebox or one of those Amazon boxes that come in the mail every other day, or something like that, you know. Cut a little hole in it, write on it, worry box, and start filling it up. And when you can't fit any more in, throw it away and start over. Not the box, the stuff in it. Better yet, take it out and burn it. And as you watch the flames eat up that paper and make those worries turn into ashes, it's a very visual reminder that they're gone. I'm not holding on to these anymore. Tony Evans mentioned the peace that surpasses all comprehension. That's what I'm calling the soothing product. The end result of what we are being told today. I like the way the Living Bible paraphrases Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. Tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank Him for the answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Jesus Christ. See, the result of not worrying about anything and praying about everything is that God's peace guards the heart and the mind. I imagine Paul had in mind here the Jewish concept of shalom. You've probably heard of that word before. Shalom is the Hebrew word for peace. And it's much more than just quiet and tranquil. Peace means wholeness. It's harmony. It's delight. It's fulfillment. It's being right with God and with the world. No wonder Paul says that God's peace surpasses all comprehension. It's able to guard our hearts and minds in Christ. This isn't just the absence of anxiety, it's the positive presence of God's Spirit and comfort and joy. And this kind of peace doesn't simply extinguish the flames of anxiety. God's shalom replaces the dry, parched conditions that ignite worry with a cool, clear, nourishing stream from the river of life. It's not just the absence of worry, it's the presence of peace and joy and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Trusting God in prayer ushers in His peace. This isn't a fleeting emotional peace, this is His eternal peace. It's the same tranquility that marks His throne room. When you think about God sitting on the throne of heaven, is there room for worry in His presence? You ever think God battles anxiety? You ever think He's up in heaven wringing His hands, wondering what He's going to do next? You think He ever sends Gabriel out for some antacids? I can't imagine God doing that. I mean, He's not worried about anything. A problem is no more a challenge to God than a twig is to an elephant. God enjoys perfect peace because God enjoys perfect power. And it's that power that's the key. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. If Jesus Christ is your Savior, the Spirit of God lives inside you, and the power by which He raised Jesus from the dead is at work in your life. That term that Paul uses about guarding our hearts and minds, it's actually a military metaphor. And it was very fitting in Philippi. Philippi was a Roman garrison. They had lots of Roman soldiers there. And they would see guards on the walls and at the gates. Before any enemy could get inside, he had to pass through those guards. And God gives us the same offer. His peace will overshadow us like a protective dome guarding our heart. Worry is an option. It's not an obligation. Don't let Satan trick you into saying, I can't help it. I was born this way. It's in my genetic makeup. There's so much going on. I have to worry and fear. God can lead you into a worry-free world. Do not worry about anything, but pray about everything. And when you do, the peace of God will come in. Before you say, I can't help it, let's go back to that verse that we're going to hear every week in this series, 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has given us what? Everything you need for life and godliness. God never gives you a command without giving you the ability to do it. There's no such thing as an unfunded mandate in the kingdom of God. Some of you know what that is. You know what an unfunded mandate is? It's when the government says you have to do this, but we're not going to give you the means to do it. You have to fulfill this obligation, but you got to do it on your own. God never does that. When God says, do this, He gives you the power to do it. When He says, don't do this, He gives you the power to say no. But not only does He give you the power to say no, He gives you something positive to do instead. So instead of worry, pray. Give it to God. Let Him handle it. That same dynamic that raised Jesus from the dead flows through our spiritual veins. This is what it means to live in the power of His resurrection. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. You will have His peace. You will overcome worry in your life. The late Peter Marshall, who served as chaplain in the United States Senate, once prayed this in an opening session of the Senate. I'm sure you couldn't get away with this today, but this was a long time ago. He said, "Lord, help us do our very best this day and be content with today's troubles so that we will not borrow the troubles of tomorrow. Save us from the sin of worrying, lest stomach ulcers be the badge of our lack of faith." Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, you've made it very clear in your word what you expect of us. As your children, we are not to worry about anything, but we are to pray about everything. And I pray that you would remind us of the power that lives within us to say no to worry and say yes to prayer. Say yes to faith and trust. We sing in our hymns, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus," and some of us don't have a clue what it means because we live every day worrying about something, worrying about everything. You say, worry about nothing, pray about everything. Help us to do that. Help others to see your peace in our lives to such a point it drives them crazy, so that they have to know, what is it that you have? Because I must have it. I pray that we don't look so much like the world that they can't tell the difference. So go with us in your power, in your peace, in your joy, and may the world see it. To your honor and glory, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.